Welcome back to my series, Circle. On today's episode, I will be speaking with Pamela Lachaul. She's known for a lot of her work in Los Angeles, California, with Men's Fashion Week, but also marketing and branding when it comes to starting your own business and being an entrepreneur. Pamela, I met through pretty much social media. I went to one of her Facebook webinar workshops over the summer when we were in mid-pandemic after everything kind of just started happening with quarantining, and she was giving a workshop about marketing and branding. And we reconnected again on Clubhouse, and I thought it would be nice to have her here and just share some info on what she does and just her experience. So, hi, Pamela. Thank you for being here.
Hi, how are you, Tamika? Thank you so much for having me. I love that intro.
No problem. Oh, thank you. No problem. So do you want to talk a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got into the marketing and branding and just kind of, you know, how you decided like this was the path that you were going to do in your life?
I take a deep breath to think about this.
Yeah.
You know, I often ask people this question myself, which is like, did you choose this career or did this career choose you?
Right.
And honestly, I just kind of feel like the jobs that I was doing necessitated the skills that I eventually acquired, you know, which were like, ultimately, all of the things that you do starting a company, from building a website to creating marketing materials to really PR, you're being your own PR, it led me to eventually have the skill set to be able to create brands for other people. Because in essence, I had created brands for myself with all the little companies and projects that I started when I was way younger.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so do you feel like, you know, do you have current inspirations now that you've decided you wanted to stay on this path and this is what you really, this was like your niche? Like, do you have any inspirations that kind of attributed to that thought? Or was it all just kind of like, okay, I realize this is what I'm doing for other people. I can definitely just do this for myself.
I think it was one of those things where, and to your point, no, I don't have an inspiration or someone that I necessarily like look to for it. It's more of like, I think in this world, we all want to, hold on one second. My alarm's going off for 10:30.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Stop. So it's one of those things where it's like, I think in this world, we're all looking for purpose. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that whenever I was producing, let's say, fashion shows when I was super young, I did feel driven by the mission. Like, we're going to do these fashion shows. We were kind of like the biggest, you know, little name in this small town, Sacramento, you know, Sacramento, California. Mm-hmm. And we used to do these fashion shows that was like all white events, all black events, but they would be packed, like to capacity, like to the door.
Okay.
And it was like really fun and cute. I had like a little team, you know.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. All that planning.
All that planning. We would do like, we were just so young and fun. Like, we would do rehearsals on the weekend where the models would come. And it was more like the In Vogue kind of models. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like straight runway. It was like kind of performative.
Okay.
And because I didn't know that that's not how fashion shows were done, mind you. Right? So we would do those rehearsals, have people there at 9 a.m. Like, if you were there at 9:01, you could not come back till next season.
Okay. Wow.
And
that's
people,
hard.
And people were showing up, Tamika. Like, they were there on time. They were not playing. Like, they were, and not paid. Like, these just like volunteers. But it was such a huge like thing for the city because, you know, that didn't really exist. And these girls who or guys who just wanted to model, they wanted creative expression. Mm-hmm. And here it was, this thing out of nowhere, which is bringing all these creatives together, all these photographers, these models, you know. And so I just really feel like from that point, I guess you can say, I really felt like a purpose around building community as opposed to like what the particular thing is. So branding for me, it's branding. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It could be anything. It could be architecture. Like, I don't know. It could be anything. I
think right. that it's just something you know how to do.
Something I know how to do and something. Right. And I think the purpose, you know, kind of more for me is like just really helping. And so cliche, everyone says it, but it's true.
Yeah.
Helping people and building community.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And so now that you've kind of, so you did that, like the, when you were a teenager, that kind of like fun side of it, kind of like a startup, like a taste of what it could possibly be. And now that you've gotten into it in your adult life, what would you say was your experience like navigating this model fashion industry? And then just like as a Black woman, like what were some of the challenges and the successes and just how did all of that feel coming up?
I would say to your first question, which was like, what mm-hmm. is it like navigating the industry? And then the second one being a Black woman in the industry, I would say, you know, when you're so young and naive, you don't even know what you're up against.
Right.
And I think that was to my advantage because I didn't realize like the fashion world is a real, like it's a very political, very like high school kind of almost thing. Like, you know, politics mm-hmm. and it's really weird. So I came in it just because, again, I had done fashion shows. Then I opened up the West Coast showroom for Desigual, which is this mm-hmm. European fashion brand. They're like the Gap or Old Navy, you can say, of like Europe, even bigger probably than Gap and Old Navy.
Okay.
And so they wanted to come to the United States. And so I brought them to the West Coast, I guess you could say, myself and a colleague of mine. It was like three of us in the United States mm-hmm. who brought this company here. So I went from producing, I went from working in retail, kind of like managing visuals, mm-hmm. to then producing fashion shows, which was highly, the main job was creative directing, really like what was the event space going to look like and all that. Mm-hmm. So that's events production, then to wholesale management, like basically my clients were buyers, like Fred Siegel.
Right.
From that, so to then producing LA Fashion Week, founding and executive producing LA Fashion Week. And okay. So in my mind, you know, I'm seasoned. Like I know, you know what I'm saying? I know this industry, I know what's going on. I'm ready to do this. I mean, it's fashion week. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even think I understood right. the gravity of like what I was doing.
You were just going with it.
Just going with it. Like, I'm going to create a fashion week. It was like, okay. But what I realized is in navigating it, there are the people who are rooting for you and they're really rooting for you. Like, I remember having right. lunch in Beverly Hills with Calvin Klein's brother, Lloyd Klein, I think his name was. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I really am obsessed with the menswear community. You know, my brother, he's really more of like a designer, but I really want to help you. This man like invited me to breakfast. I mean, he must have been like 40 years older than me.
Wow.
He was, like, rooting for me to like make this happen. He's like, we're going to make it. Like, I can see it. Like the founders of like Joy Rich, the founders of like Skin Graft, Jerry mm-hmm. Lorenzo of Fear of God LA, a Fear of God. Well, I think it's just Fear of God now. But Jerry Lorenzo of Fear of God showed up. Like, it was like a movement, you know?
Right.
And those
right.
were people who, and then Blake Scott, we talk about all the bloggers. Blake Scott was there as an ambassador. We had the Duramel twins who are these like French Nigerian photographers who now I'm not okay. really sure where they live, but they were just yeah. Vogue. Like, they were there. So you have all those people who were like really rooting for you and was like connecting right. dots, connecting you with people, making sure this thing was a hit and all that. But in back behind the scenes, what I later found is that you had New York, the Council of Fashion Designers of America. You had mm-hmm. Vogue planning a New York Fashion Week men's.
And it, okay.
And it all came from the moment when I presented an opportunity to a New York fashion brand, a menswear brand, to participate in LA Fashion Week. And I remember the guy asked me, what do you know about fashion or something? And he asked me about some photographer or someone or whatever. And I didn't know who he was talking about. And mind you, art comes first. You know, if anyone is in the menswear space, mm-hmm. they know these were like major like people in the industry at that time. Art Comes First was like down, like inviting me to lunch and stuff like that. But here was this New York guy was like, you know, what do you know about fashion? And literally within 6 months, I think they had launched a New York Fashion Week men's sponsored by like Amazon, like Colgate, I think wow. was the first sponsor. And here I am, this is self-funded. So the politics of it all was just like, I think really eye-opening. It really, navigating it was super interesting. I had so much support, so I felt supported, but no one knew like behind the scenes. Like I would show up to meetings and they'd be like, hey, I would love to, because I'm marketing, right? I'm branding. So I could make a company look like a multi-million dollar company online.
Right. That's
a gift and a curse. But then I would show up to these meetings and they'd be like, but where's the founder though? I thought I had a meeting with the founder. And I'd be like, that's me. And it'd be like these old white guys who wanted to like invest in the company, or like they wanted to just be down with it. Cause it seemed like, I mean, it was a huge thing. So anyway.
And then when they saw the face behind it, they were like, you did this?
Yes.
Right.
So being a Black woman, I don't even think I knew that I was actually a Black until Men's Fashion right. Week. Because I just, wow. I didn't even, yeah. And I didn't understand like the complexities of being a Black woman, really.
Right. And that space and what that meant and what you were actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of came out to you at a later, like the later side of things, like the impact of that.
Like you are other, and I didn't know that.
Right. right. So now you took a turn. So that kind of stopped, like you stopped doing the Fashion Week and these other like fashion events. When was it like, when did you decide that you were like, okay, I'm going to stop doing these kinds of things and I want to focus on more like the marketing and branding, or more like the behind the scenes kind of stuff?
I think it was more of I want to focus on the behind the scenes stuff that I felt like was more Men's Fashion Week. And then I went to, I had recorded a video. I don't know if you ever saw the video, but there's like a video recap of like the inaugural Men's Fashion Week. And
oh, I have to look it up then.
Yes.
And see.
And in there, I was like, I said something like, I like to connect the dots. Like I'm the dot connector. And mm-hmm. it was something about like watching that back, combined with the fact of like, I don't really care about menswear and any whatever whatsoever. I just want to produce fashion shows right. and I needed to create a way for me to produce fashion shows.
Right.
It was so silly. But so it was those connections where I was like, well, I don't want to connect photographers with designers. I want to be right. a photographer or a designer. Like I want to be the creative.
Right.
And so that's when
that makes sense.
And so that's when I set out, because production is really more like project management. It really is like more like Excel spreadsheets right. and like planning. It's not creative really yeah. at all. It's not really, you know. And so right. I was like, okay, well, I want to do photography. I want to do content creation. And so that's when I started like my little fashion influencer page, where I was doing like style influence, like outfitting myself, taking pictures, you know, mm-hmm. lifestyle content and stuff like that. Right. And I did that as a means of wanting to create social media brands for brands.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's when, I can't even tell you when I came across your Instagram page. I don't know how. Mm. I just know one day I was on your Instagram page and I had liked the look of it. It was very like simple, very like clean cut, and just very kind of like, I got from it like organized. And I was like, oh, this is nice to look at. Because you see so many Instagram pages and there's always a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different layouts you can do. But yours, for some reason, it stood out to me because I noticed it was just like a common theme of like soft colors, like black and white or grays. And that's kind of like about it. It wasn't like yellows and like just crazy, crazy things. But then I think one of the things that also caught my eye was you were hosting a, I think for one of the posts you have put in the caption, like, you're hosting like a branding for dummies kind of thing, and, you know, visit the link in the bio on your website to sign up. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Because at that time, I think I want to say it was like back in May, and I've been podcasting for a while now, but I was kind of like, you know, I was at the point like, well, what do I want to do with this podcasting? Because that's when, you know, again, like it's May, the pandemic and lockdown and quarantining was happening like from March. So at that point in May, everybody's like trying to get on their entrepreneur thing and all this kind of stuff. So I was kind of in that moment, like, what do I want to do with this podcasting? You know? Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what, let me do her branding, her Dummy Proof branding course, and let me see what this is about. And me and one of my friends had joined. I remember I was taking notes and like you were giving all these great tips and just like the look of how, like, you know, if you want to promote on social media, the look of it and, you know, how do you sell your business? Like, you know, the save the dates and, you know, pre-launches and soft launches, like all these kind of different things. I was like, wow, this is a lot of information. But I'm like, this is great, because during the pandemic, everybody was like all of a sudden a business owner, but nobody really explained like the steps in a way, and not the steps to get it started, to get your business started, but the steps to kind of, once you have your business started or once you have your idea going for you, how do you promote your idea? So, which in turn show, like, it allows you to showcase your creativity. You know what I mean? So that was something that I was attracted to. And I was like, oh, wow, like I'm getting a lot from this. And, you know, it's businessy. You need to know these things when you have your business and, you know, whatever you're doing with your business. But at the same time, it was like giving you a space where you can also be creative. So it, I didn't feel like it was like, you know, choose one or the other. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, you can have both. So that's kind of what I got from it. And I was like, oh, this is some good information. And then after that, I was just like following you. And then I think you, you started like a brand, another IG page about like face masks and like accessories and jewelry. And I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, you know, so yeah, that's kind of like the backstory. But yeah, anyways.
That's interesting. So with the podcasting, so did you take any of the tips to help you like create? Do you have a separate podcast Instagram page?
I do. Oh, and cool. That's really new. So that is one of the things that I took from you, was like, okay, now if I'm going to take this podcast into the next level, I could keep it on my personal IG and I could, you know, revamp that whole thing. But also, because of me and how I am, like I'm somewhat an organized individual. Like I do a lot of spreadsheeting for work. So that's kind of what I'm used to, like just putting things into categories and slots and spaces that they kind of fit in. And so for me, it was like, well, if I'm going to do podcasting and make this something, then it has to have its own home. It's got to have like its own separate identity. It's got to have like its own IG page. And the IG page is for the podcast, but it's also supposed to be like the resume for the podcast. You know what I mean? So that's something that I took from that. And just knowing like, okay, the information that I put on that IG page, it has to catch people's eyes and just something that people can connect with. And I don't have any products to sell or anything like that, or merchandise to do like a soft launch or anything like that. But the idea is, you know, once my website is done, I would, you know, do like a soft launch or like a pre-launch memo to everybody. Like, you know, this is what's coming up, save the date kind of thing. And that's something that I took from your workshop as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was just kind of like how I was caught on to you and like how I started following you and just kind of how like I'm applying it to what I'm doing now. So do you feel like, you know, with the marketing and the branding side of things, do you feel it is more easier or challenging to build your business independently? Or do you feel like your connections from your past experience help you?
And which business would you say you're talking about?
I guess like in terms of business, we could do it in terms of like your branding, your marketing and your branding, like the service that you can provide for people, mm-hmm. or just, you know, what you're providing for yourself. Like, do you find that it's easier to put yourself out there based on that? Or do you find like your past connections that you've had with people, like that kind of gives you like a little nudge a little bit or a little bump?
I feel like I don't, I feel like the people who I connected with in my past, I don't think so, because mostly all of my, you know what? I will say in a way, right? Because I'm drawing a bridge now, because my two of my earlier clients came from people from Men's Fashion Week. Literally, these two girls, it's so funny how this happened, but two girls on separate occasions came up to me and was like, "Hey, are you the girl from Men's Fashion Week?" Mm-hmm. And one was in like a Zara. And she and I are friends now. Rocio, hey, what's up, girl? but she ended up referring me to one of my earliest clients, who's called the Modern Teacher. She wasn't my first client, but she was like one of the earliest clients who I did branding for. Like, I created her social media page from scratch. And she was a dream client because she's very like bougie, you know, really clean, really beautiful aesthetic. She wanted like that black and white contrast, which you said that I do, or that I did at that time. And it was just like a dream client. And then the second person, who wasn't, you know, my second client per se, but throughout the years, another girl came up to me during the Balmain X H&M collaboration. We were all in line and she was like, "Aren't you the girl from Men's Fashion Week?" And I was like, "Yeah." And we became friends. She and I are still friends. Hey, Dixie. And Dixie launched her brand. She's a celebrity stylist. And she launched her brand with her co-founder, who is in the NFL, and it's called Loyal Americans. And so I relaunched. They went from like a graphic tee company to like very like purple and like all colorful and kind of like, I don't know, young, to like a luxury lifestyle brand. And I helped. I did their whole rebrand, you know, from the art director side of things.
Wow. So I guess that's a very different transition from the young and then to luxury lifestyle. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I guess you could say that some of those past relationships, you know, were beneficial in the end with my marketing business. I never thought about it like that. Thanks to Mika. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No problem. And so, you know, when you knew that you wanted to do these things for yourself now and not, you know, for necessarily like getting your creativity out there in your way. What are some of the new things that you're learning? Are you learning anything new, or do you feel like, you know, okay, I've got it all? Or like, what are some new things that you're learning with this, through this experience?
I think I'm learning probably more about leadership. Right now I have the mentorship program, which is interesting because you now have to be really more of like a people person, and you're not dealing with businesses. You're dealing with like people. So I've been reading like a lot of leadership books. I'm actually reading a book now called How to Change Your Mind by like Mike or someone. But it's just really about like who do you want to be? And then there's this other journaling practice that I'm doing called future self journaling. Have you heard of this?
No, I've never heard of these books.
And so future self journaling is like this concept where you basically write down where you're at. You're observing what you're doing. So like if I have a conversation with one of my mentees, I'm observing how that made me feel. Like, was I my truest self, most full self? And then I'm writing down, okay, if I didn't like how I showed up in that space, what could I have changed?
Right.
As a future Pam, what do I want to see? Like, what would the future Pam do and be, and how would she act? And then you're just circling back to that every single day. I write down those, like, it's like seven questions. I think I only listed like three, but it's like seven or eight questions. And then it basically helps you to transform yourself into like the type of person, for me, the type of leader I think that I want to be.
Oh, that's a nice way to do that. That kind of adds like a reflection piece to it. It's like actually being active in your mind, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're reflecting, but you're actively reflecting. That's awesome. And what was the first book again that you said?
I think it's called How to Change Your Mind. Let me go to my iBooks. How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, P-O-L-L-A-N.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. That sounds interesting.
But it's about like psychedelics and like to me it seems like it's more about like, do you know what ayahuasca is?
No, what is that now?
Okay, so ayahuasca is like this ritual, Amazonian ritual, happens in Peru, And okay. you go there if you're looking to get in touch with like your higher self or your higher consciousness. Like there's this idea that there's a higher self that knows everything about us.
Right. Okay. Yeah, true.
And mm-hmm. it's like, how do you get in touch with that higher consciousness, like your past lives or your future lives, whatever. But it's all like linear. We don't see it as being linear, but apparently like it's all kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see it. So when you do attend an ayahuasca ceremony, it's like tree bark from the tree, some kind of okay. tree down there. I don't know. And then it's like they blend it up with like this tea. It's like this brew that you drink. And you usually go for okay. like a weekend or a week or something like that. And it's like they call it Mother Ayahuasca. And once you drink this thing, this tea, it's like blessed mm-hmm. by these shamans who have been doing this for centuries. It's like traded from century to century, like passed down from generation to generation, like how to do these ceremonies, how to get like the best out of it for your quote unquote client, but the person who's coming, who's trying to look for a revelation in their life, like who's trying to kick alcohol addiction, who's trying to get rid of inner child past trauma stuff. So anyway, you drink this drink and it's supposed to like open up. It's also like supposed to be like a psychedelic in a way. So Westerners, of course, went there and they figured out how to like, how can you recreate this experience for the Western world so everyone doesn't have to go down there. So LSD. Yes. And I think something else is what like Westerners do it for. But I feel like in the West, people here do that kind of stuff, like mushrooms or whatever. I don't know if they're doing it properly, because with the ayahuasca ceremony, it's like a whole thing. Like they're praying over it. They're like doing mantra. They're singing to you over. They're like waving some feather over you. It's like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like more of a natural approach. Like you're using nature and you're using your channeling your energy, your body's energy field. Okay.
Yes. And so anyway, this book, the one on how to change your mind, is how to, I think basically, I'm not knee deep in it yet, but it seems like it's basically about LSD and psilocybin, what's it called? LSD and psychedelics, and how they can like help you get into this realm. But is that real or is that just a high? Is that just a trip? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right. Interesting. Okay. I'm going to have to check that book out. That seems pretty interesting. And then the second book you said, what was the name of that second book again? The journaling piece of it?
I don't know if it's a book, but it's a technique called future self journaling.
Okay. The technique. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to have to try that too. Usually I do a lot of meditation and I do a lot of reflecting some nights. You know, usually I reflect on my day. I was trying to get into it where Friday nights I would reflect on my week, but Friday night would come and I'm like, I'm going to bed. So that wouldn't happen. But typically, you know, other weeknights or especially on Sunday nights, you know, just in my moments of reflecting, it is like just literally reflecting, but I've never actually sat down and was like, okay, did I show up for someone in the situation and just kind of like, what could I have done differently? Or if I wasn't there 100%, or how would my future self handle the situation kind of thing? Like I've never done it I've never done reflection, which is like a past tense kind of action with a future kind of action, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that I definitely am interested in trying. So thank you for that tip. I don't know if you meant to give me that tip, but thank you for that tip.
No, you're welcome.
I'm definitely going to try that. So this
a hand-in-hand partnership with a branding or marketing or business expert or professional, you know. And what we do is walk you through step by step every single day, day in, day out, how to launch your brand. So we have a platform. There is like quote unquote like course curriculum where you can learn like day one, what's the first thing you need to do? Day two, what's the second thing you need to do? But in essence, you also are holding hands with me where you are, hey, I didn't understand step one. I know you said that I need to write a brand story and I watched the entire video. Here's my brand story. Take a look at it. What do you think? What do I need to change? How can I improve it or whatever? So it's like kind of almost like mentorship ongoing, but it's like people send me videos. Yesterday I did a photo shoot at my own studio, showing someone how to shoot their products. And I give a list of like, okay, you need to make sure you clean your lens, make sure that your mm-hmm. lens is parallel with the subject, shoot it, you know, not with the light source behind the subject, but make sure that the subject is in front of the light source. And these are things that are so intuitive to me that I never right. would have thought that, these are things that are so intuitive to me that I never would have right. thought that other people didn't know. But whenever I see my mentees work, like their own product shots or their own websites, it's like, right, right. we gotta change this. Right. So. So I just send them a screenshot, or if I'm looking at their website, I'll literally pull my phone out and start recording their website and say, okay, this font needs to change, mm-hmm. make this bigger, reduce the letter spacing, mm-hmm. increase this. Like, it's literally very right. much
hand-in-hand. You just have an eye for it.
And I love it because I have an eye for it, and I've been doing it, oh my God, for so long. It's like, it's so natural for me. But even me, you know, I'm not like the best. Like, I never studied graphic design. I took some mm-hmm. Art Institute courses on graphic design, but I'm not like a trained graphic designer, but I think I have an eye for just like yeah. beautiful beauty, just beauty, whether that's styling from doing like retail floor sets and visuals and styling, commercial styling, product styling, right. editorial styling, right? Whether that's interiors, like I had a little stint in my life for about 6 months where I was mm-hmm. decorating homes and offices, like actually like wow. redoing someone's like mansion, like redoing someone's like car dealership, mm-hmm. like their office space, like legit. So I think it's just like that eye. Somehow I just, you know, mm-hmm. you're born with it, I think, really. And then it's your job to enhance, improve those skills that you're naturally born with, because that's where the gold is. If I was to just sit on it, like, right. yeah, I'm really good at this thing, but never like honed right. in and like really refined it, it would be useless right. to the world. It would be useless to me. Right. I couldn't earn right. income from it, right?
Right.
So it's like just knowing that natural instinct. My mom has it too. She's like has a staging company. She designs tutus. She's a designer, mm-hmm. like a fashion designer. And so it's like, it's kind of like in the blood, but it's like, what are you doing throughout your lifespan right. to enhance that?
Right. We all thing. Have our, we so, all yeah, have kind of them. Like our little, our talent, and how are we maximizing mm-hmm. on that? Yeah. I totally get it. And it looks different for everyone. And so what are your thoughts on social media and promoting your business versus just having a website? Or do you feel like they go hand in hand, a website and social media?
Well, I feel like they mm-hmm. can both be used at the same, in the same way, because ultimately they are just publishing right. platforms. Okay. So your website, you publish it online, and now it's just online. Your social media, like Instagram, you mm-hmm. publish a picture, and now right. it's just online. The question is, what are you doing to get people to see your okay. message? That's the question, you know? So social media, it seems like it's active because you're posting every day. So you're constantly being put in front of the audience who elected right. to follow you. So it kind of seems like you're, you know, you're working in a way, retargeting, quote unquote, you can call that mm-hmm. retargeting, really. But then with the website, if you're sending traffic to it through ads or through influencers or PR, it serves the same exact purpose right. as social media, but it's paid. They're both extensions of your, they're both deliver your brand mm-hmm. to the public. So, you know, you need both. I believe you can have a business without having an Instagram. I believe you can have a business without having a mm-hmm. a website. I believe you can have a business that's just via PayPal. It just depends on how your business is structured. I'm not suggesting that anyone right. do this. It's like you're working uphill. Right, like, why right. would you do that? But I've had businesses for sure where it was just like a right, PayPal right. link.
Yeah, because I often, you know, I know you had touched on that too. And when I did the dummy proof branding, that webinar that time in the summer, and that was something that I also walked away with. And one of the things that I got was like, okay, you know, your website and your social media, whether you use Instagram or Facebook, they're important to have. But I also took away from it that, and I don't know if I could be wrong, but I also took away from it, like, when you have your website, what's one thing that you can offer people on your website that you can't offer people on your social media, but that will entice the website people to stay? You know what I mean? And so it was like trying mm-hmm, to find mm-hmm, like, yeah. you know, what's that, like, I guess like that hook on your website, so that way people can always like go back mm-hmm. to your website. So like, yes, you're on my social media, you're following me, but after you're doing all this on my Instagram or after you're doing all this on my Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media somebody's using, ultimately, I do want you to revert back to my website because this is where it kind of really all happens, you know, or like, right, exactly. That's where the checkout is. And this is where you'll get like, you know, your up to date, like your real time, like info on special offers or, you know, giveaways or whatever it may be, whatever's happening for that person on their website or their business. And that's something that I've been trying to do, like just, you know, in terms of what I have on social media, like with my podcast and, you know, I don't have a website. Like I'm working on a website and I started one and I saw it. I was like, oh, this is great. I'm ready for it to go. I just need to figure out a domain name. Everything that I wanted to have for a domain name, it was just, they were all taken. So I was like, okay, there we go. I couldn't think of one. And then all of a sudden it was, you know, I created my IG page for the podcast, but then it was like, now what do I do for the website? It was kind of weird. Like I thought I had it and then I didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And then, so now I'm still working on my website and now I'm like, oh my God, scratch everything. I want to redo it all over again. This is not how I want it to be. So I don't know if that's just me, but.
Well, I think it's not just you, but I also feel like you're right in the launch of the Instagram. I feel like for a podcast, listen, no one's probably even going to ever go to your website. What they probably would do, unless you are sending, if you have a plan to send people to your website, you have a budget, a marketing budget for that, then yes, you need a website. But I feel like for podcasts, just putting like little clips of interviews on your Instagram with a link in bio to a Spotify or Apple podcast or wherever, I think that's sufficient. Like a link tree with like, if you're an iOS user, if you're an Android user, whatever, this is how you find me. And then always posting like super high quality, you know, having really great people on who have like cool sound bites that you can post that give value to people. So they want to listen to the podcast. And then have a cool color scheme. You don't even need a website.
Yeah, I think you're right about that too. I know there was other things too that I'm trying to do with it, which is why I was like, oh, I need a website. Okay. Yeah, we can talk about it off of this too. But it definitely was like, I just felt like overall for the things that I'm trying to do, I'm like, I need a virtual home for these things outside of social media. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how my website idea came into play to begin with. And I started working on it. And then when I was like, okay, I want to do something more with the podcast, I was really kind of struggling, like, how can I make the podcast pop on my website? But then I know, like, it's easier to make it pop on IG versus a website. It was just, like, a lot of different thoughts I had. But nonetheless,
And also we talked about how, like you just mentioned, how when you go to the website, it's something different. So maybe it's not even like making it pop the podcast. Maybe the podcast is like a complete like secondary or third thing when they get to the website. Maybe it's like the other main thing that you want to do.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. But nonetheless, the website is not live and I'm still working on it. So, and I know that, you know, I guess now that we're talking about websites and like social media, everybody's got like their preferences of social medias to promote on, like whether it's IG or whether it's Facebook. Some people use Twitter and everyone now is using Clubhouse, which is, I love Clubhouse. What is it like? I know you specialize in Facebook ads. You hold a lot of Facebook ad workshops. And which social media do you find to be the best for promoting? And like, what is the specialty about your Facebook ads workshops that you do hold?
I think that the Facebook ads workshop works best on, it does work best. I mean, Clubhouse is an amazing lead generation platform. And I think like I made like quite a fair amount of money in 10 days, you know, and that's just from Clubhouse, like not even promoting, like not running ads or anything. And I think for marketing, I really feel like Instagram, if you have a highly visual kind of concept, and I think Facebook is good. but I also think LinkedIn, I mean, Clubhouse. But if, for example, you are B2B, you know, there's nothing wrong with being on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is like Clubhouse almost. It's like no one, they're not charging a lot over there. It's not a lot of.
I never got into LinkedIn. I would say LinkedIn, I do have a LinkedIn profile, but I remember I used it more for when I was looking for work at one point. I never used it on the side of me being like an entrepreneur or me doing my own thing. I used it from the perspective of like, I'm looking for something to do. So, but I guess, you know, I'm hearing more about LinkedIn, I guess. You know, if you have your own thing, like Nipsey, before he passed, I know he was using LinkedIn to try to get his, he had cryptocurrency that he was trying to get off of the ground. And that's what he was using LinkedIn for. And then that's when he did that, that's when I kind of saw, I was like, oh, you can use LinkedIn to kind of like promo yourself or promo like your product, like your own business. It's not just for, you know, looking for work or those kind of things, or to, you know, to do a service for someone else. But I haven't really gotten into LinkedIn to check it out, but I guess maybe I may. Yeah.
I think for you, maybe for the, anyone who's looking to like get people on their show, you know, for sure, because you can just search for, hey, I want to bring someone on who is, who does this. And you can literally find like a million people. DM them all.
All right. Awesome. And so, so now,
on your second question,
the Facebook ads workshops, you hold a lot of those workshops. So does that mean you prefer Facebook as a platform to promote a business, or do you not have a,
No, Facebook ads, what makes the ads workshop special is that I'm teaching people how to use the Facebook ads manager, which is like behind the scenes. It's not like when you promote an ad on Instagram, or if you boost an ad, boost a post on Instagram or promote on Facebook. It's like the behind the scenes, and you can place the ad anywhere you want. So the placement can be on Facebook Explorer page. It could be on Facebook's news feed. It could be in Facebook video. You can place your ad in Instagram feed, Instagram Explorer page. Like you can literally post an ad in Instagram Explorer page. Like you can place it wherever you want to place it. You can place it in the stories.
Okay.
So that's the benefit of learning how to do the Facebook ads. And that's what the workshop's all about. And I break it down. You know, like people don't really, this is what people are telling me. They're telling me that people don't really help them out. Like they've taken so many courses and done so many things. And at the end of it, they still don't know anything. But what they're saying is that, you know, I really break it down. So it's like they understand it now. Like before, they kind of heard the concepts. They hear the person talking, but they're not making a connection between their business and how it can help them revenue wise. And like the technical skills of like, oh, okay, to affect this part of my business, I need to do this type of ad, or I need to run this type of campaign. They, you know, they didn't really know. And a lot of the people who take my course or who are in the mentorship program, they've taken other courses, and they literally will say, I've taken this girl's, they'll send me the people's links. Like I took this girl's course and she taught me nothing. I learned more from you in 2 days. All right,
I'm gonna have to look into that. So what I'm understanding is that with the Facebook ads, you, because it's not necessarily like an a promo kind of thing that you're doing on the Facebook app, as something that you can do a Facebook ad, but the ad can also kind of, I guess, spill over into Instagram as well.
You can place, it's called a placement. You can place the ad.
You have more control over it. Because I have a because for my podcast page on IG, and, you know, it's more like a business kind of thing versus like a personal IG page, I do see that option, like you can promote, you can boost it, like you can pay a certain amount of money. And then for Facebook, I created like a business page again for like the podcast page. And I see that as well. Like when I'm about to post on Facebook on the podcast page, it'll ask me like, I can publish it with a boost or something else, but it sounds like there's more of a step. The Facebook ad is more of a detailed step where you can actually choose where you want to posted and choose where you want it to pop up for people. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. And yeah, it's kind of funny too, because I know a few people not related at all to this, but I just find it interesting. And I'm always curious. For my personal IG page, some people have like sent me screenshots like, you're on the explore page. And I'm like, really? Why? Like, you know, and I find that kind of like, mm-hmm. how did I get there? You know what I mean? I'm not like a hashtag queen and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm just kind of curious about that. But that's interesting to know that you can actually decide where you want to have like your promo placed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And many other variables you have access to.
Okay. Affecting. All right. Awesome. All right. So now, off of that for a little bit, you also do accessories. So you're doing face masks, chain links, you're doing jewelry, you're doing like clothing pieces. So it's safe to say that you still like fashion, even though you're doing your own marketing and branding thing, and this still allows you to be creative. I think your jewelry line or like your accessory line, it's called Champagne Diana. Is that the name of it? Indiana, Champagne Indiana. And how did you come up with that name?
Champagne was a name that I thought about for the bougie in me, the lifestyle. I do enjoy a glass of champagne. And then Indiana is for the younger me, who that's where I'm from, is Indiana. That wasn't so bougie. It was like, you know, poor community, lower, you know, economic class. But it's like, those are the that's the duality that is me, even as an adult. Like, I see both of those things show up when they need to show up.
I like it. I like the combination, the name combination. So I'm big on words. I've noticed that. Like, I'm big on words. So I'm always curious when people come up with names for things, or when people speak and how they speak, or when their writing style and things like that. And that was something that was interesting to me when I was following you. And then I was following like your accessory page, you know, your IG accessory page and the jewelry. And I was like, how does she come up with this name? And I'm like, this is interesting. Like, you know, there's definitely a story behind it. Okay. And so right now, do you have any like promotions or anything happening for the accessories or the jewelry? I know there was a pair of earrings that I did want to order. I think I even commented on it, like, I need to order these.
But girl, yes, get them. No promotions right now. I'm just not even, no promotions. I feel like you do promotions when business is kind of, sometimes when it's maybe slow, I don't know, or if you're trying to like push something particularly, like I'm trying to push these things. Like, I was trying to get rid of, what was I trying to get rid of? Something. I did like a 2-for sale, like two for buy two, get two, something or whatever. But no, okay. No,
and one of the things I like too about, you know, just looking at Instagram and like your stories, you kind of take, I don't know if anybody else has told you this, but you kind of, I feel like I'm there with you. So like when you're looking for fabric to make face masks, or you're looking for like chain links to make your accessories, or just things that go into that, you kind of like document in your stories, like, for someone to come with you and go through all the steps as you go out in the morning and you go to these different places to buy these items. And I like that interaction. I mean, I'm not there with you, but it kind of feels like I am. But I like to see like what kind of, it also shows the process of what you have to do to like put this final product together for somebody. And I think that's important. And I appreciate that piece of it. So people aren't like, oh, she's just selling this and this is it. Like, people know, like, no, this is like taking you real time. It's taking you like real energy and effort to put it together. And then you guys can see the final product. Girl. So that's something that I enjoy watching on your stories. So, yeah, you're welcome. I don't know if anybody else does, but I actually do.
Yeah, a lot of people said that. And it's funny, I love that people say it. And it's important just for the audience at large who's hearing this to compliment people. They say give people their flowers. Like, it's true, though, because you never know when someone is thinking about pulling a content concept. Like, we call them content mixes or content buckets. You never know when someone's going to pull a content bucket where they may be like, you know what, this behind the scenes stuff hasn't really been getting much traction. Meanwhile, it's the thing that people like the most. But if no one's saying it, your favorite influencer is going to stop posting something because you're not affirming to them that you want to see that type of content.
I think people, I think a lot of people are just kind of looking to see, like, they want to get, like, the realness behind everything, you know? I think that's what it is. And and do you have any upcoming projects or anything that we can look forward to in terms of, like, your accessories line or your marketing and branding courses?
I would say follow Champaign, Indiana, because the company name may or may not change, or in different iterations, like maybe it goes from accessories to now we're selling fashion, and it may or may not be the same company name. So you want to follow it so you can stay tapped in with that. With Dummy Proof Branding, I don't know if we're going to take our monthly mentorship program from our, it's a monthly mentorship program, but it's almost like daily contact. I don't know if we're going to take that from being daily contact to weekly contact. But if you wanted to get in, I would say, you know, go to dummyproofbranding.com or the link in my bio and sign up for that, like, ASAP, because I know for sure it's going to have to change, because I can't right now. I only have 30 mentees roughly. And that's kind of okay, because not everyone is messaging me the same time every day of the week. But when it starts to get into the hundreds, when I start actually marketing it, which I haven't even marketed it yet. Which when I start doing
and
that,
it's only you.
So I would say just stay in touch. And it's only me. So stay in touch. Go to, you know, visit dummyproofbranding.com. Follow me on Instagram at Pamela Lachelle. Just to stay up.
And how do you spell, just for listeners, if they're not sure, like, how do you spell your IG?
It's Pamela, P-A-M-E-L-A. And then Lachelle, L for Larry, A for Apple, S for Sam, H, A for Apple, L, L, Pamela Lachelle.
So you guys, you got to go follow her on social media, visit her website, and definitely check her out. And I think this is great. I mean, I think now, especially, you see a lot of Black women starting this, like, entrepreneur thing, wanting their own business, no matter what it is. It can be, it can range from many different things, but I think to have this information and to have, like, somebody really holding your hand on all sides of it, I think that's important. I think for us as women too, and especially for us as Black women, to have, like, a blueprint or to have somebody to go with you kind of along the way, because that information is not always there for us, you know what I mean? It's not something that's always passed down through our parents or, you know what I mean? So it's not always available and reachable for us. So I think this is great that you have something like this.
And this is why we love Clubhouse too, because we can be stuck. Like, I remember before I got on Clubhouse, I was literally stuck on just, like, two questions that, like, who would you even email about this? Like, you don't have relationships with high net worth people. You don't have relationships with these, like, you know, Gary V's or whoever. How are you supposed to get your question answered? And it'd be like that one hole in the, like, filling the, like, that hole, that just that one thing you need answered. And if there was something like a me, I mean, I feel like this should be, like, a bigger thing. Like, I don't know if there should be, like, an app, like how they have, like, the talk therapy app where you can just call in and talk to a therapist. Maybe there should be an app for, like, business questions where you can just pay X amount of money per month, and you can just get any question answered from, like, an actual professional, because you'll be stuck. You'll be in paralysis for months because you just don't know this one next
move. I was going to say, from Clubhouse too, I love Clubhouse. It definitely does take up time, because it's nothing that you're in and out of when you're in the rooms, especially if you're in a room that is part of your interest in what you're trying to do. You can be in a room for hours. But what I love about it as well is just, you know, you can network with so many people, and it's kind of all happening in real time. So it's kind of like, hey, you're interesting. I want to network with you. I sent you a DM. Like, you can actually tell the person, like, this is what I did, you know, and they can respond. It just seems more accessible versus every other social media platform where you can send a message. It can just kind of get lost and they may never know you sent it. At least with Clubhouse, you can have a conversation with someone and say, hey, like, by the way, check your DM, like literally check your DM, you know, and you can kind of get that connection or that partnership, whatever it is, you can kind of get it going. So I love Clubhouse. I think it's great, but definitely it is something that when I have time to like, to when I'm cleaning or something, that's kind of when I just listen in. So, you know, because if you've got stuff to do for the day, it's kind of be like, all right, I got to put it down. I got to, you know, go to the supermarket. I got to do this. I got to do laundry. And, you know, it's hard to do sometimes, especially if you want to speak and you want to say things. Definitely something that could take up time. So, but yeah, this was great. Thank you, Pamela, for being on this episode. I gained some new information. So, which is
Thank
great.
You for having me. I'll
be hitting you up off of this. But yeah, this is great. And thank you for being on this episode. And guys, you know, follow her on social media, visit her website and, you know, take a course, a Facebook ads course, if you're interested in promoting your business or anything like that, and just get those details. And like she said, there may be something where like, it's one little thing that's kind of holding you back that you just don't have the answer on, but you don't know who to ask. So we're going to close out, but thank you again, Pamela, for being here and everybody. I hope you got, no problem. And, I hope everybody got something from this. So everyone, peace and blessings until next time. Bye guys.